Majority Report with Janine Garofalo and Sam Cedar, where every day's casual Friday, so don't forget your denim hip huggers. We're not afraid of dungarees on the Majority Report.
Hello, and welcome back. Hear that? The Trash Can Sinatras and Sam and I and Colin are welcoming you back to another Majority Report. Now, Sam, before we jump into the real news, and there's a lot of it, listen to this. So I'm walking home last night, and guess who I see coming out of a restaurant?
Alan Combs.
Nope.
Wait, let me take another guess. Frank Luntz.
No, the South Park guys. I'm not kidding. It's Trey, Matt and Trey.
Trey Parker, Matt Stone.
So I see them standing outside because they're very identifiable. I mean, they look a lot like
Yeah, they still, you know.
And so I just walked right up to the curly-headed one, which is Matt or Trey. Yeah. And I just stood there and just waited. And his, I don't know if it's girlfriend or assistant, noticed me first and broke out into a big grin. And then he goes, "Oh, hey!" And then I said, "I want my puppet. I want a copy of my puppet." And he goes, "Oh, well, okay." Like he said, "All right, but I got to tell you, since the faces are made of latex, they're deteriorating." And I said, "That's fine, as is mine." And then then the blonde one said it was his idea. It was his idea, but kidding, because obviously it was the blonde guy's idea, because he seems to be much more antagonistic towards quote unquote entertainers who get political. But anyway, so I said, "I want the puppet. I'm going to wear it around my neck as a totem, and I'm as a necklace. I'm never going to take it off." And so he said, I gave him my address. He said he was going to send me a puppet. And then I said, "You know, I don't care that you make fun of me, and I don't mind getting mocked. What bothers me is the inevitable cheering that will follow on the heels of it." He goes, "Oh, yeah, there's been a lot of cheering," as if that was supposed to make me feel better. Like, how much cheering? He goes, "And I can't, you won't believe how well your head explodes because we packed it so full of explosives." So that's that story. So I will be eagerly awaiting my puppet from Matt and or Trey. And then I said, I'd like to stand here and talk to you, but I have a puppy in a crate that's rapidly getting too small for him. I have to go. So I went home to walk Lou dog.
I think it would have been appropriate for you to register some comment to them that was a little more snide.
The comment?
Something to the effect of like, "Hey, I got an idea. Why don't you go watch basketball?"
Well, the comment that I made,
"Why don't you go watch that crap-ass movie that you forced people to go to because they thought it was going to be as good as South Park?"
I don't know if they forced them to go, but I did make a comment that was true for me. I don't mind being made fun of, but it hurt my feelings that there's going to be cheering. But what I should have said was, "I will wear that puppet as a totem around my neck as a message to all people who speak out against the corrupt administration, that if you speak out, you deserve to get your head blown off."
Yes.
Courtesy of the guys from South Park.
By some, and listen, you know, I got a little grief. You know, that's the difference between you and I.
Mm-hmm.
If I saw those guys, I would have had a larger problem with them. And I think you're a better person than me.
No. I don't think that I'm a better person than you at all.
No, I think in that respect, in only in that very narrowest respects, I think, because I would have, I would have pointed out to them that Orgasmo was a piece of crap, that the basketball was a piece of crap, and I wouldn't.
But that's not related to this particular issue, though. That's not related to the puppet issue.
But you know what? It is in a way, because look, they obviously do a joke like that. I mean, listen, I'm a comedian. You're a comedian. I understand how someone formulates that joke in their mind, and it comes from a position of superiority. 98% of the jokes I make also come from a position of superiority, but I think it's justified. Whereas, and I think I got the work to back it up, and I've seen these guys work, and it's garbage.
No, I actually disagree. I don't think their work is garbage. I never saw basketball, and I never saw Orgasmo.
Well,
but
that's
I have
why.
Seen, okay, but I have seen South Park, and I have seen the South Park movie, both of which I enjoy. So, but let's move on. Now, Sam.
Let's talk about another comedian.
Oh, all right.
I want to talk about the John Stewart thing.
Oh, John Stewart.
It's impossible not to talk about this.
Right, right.
Now, John Stewart, on the other hand, I think is a very intelligent comedian.
Right.
Whose comedy is intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always been intelligent. And he, to the extent that I have a bone to pick with him, It's only that I think sometimes the Daily Show, when he has conservatives on there, he doesn't hammer the conservatives to the extent that I would like to see. With that said, I also understand that the Daily Show is a show less about tearing apart politicians and more about satirizing media. And what are you doing? Yeah, I know. Okay, I won't. I'm in the middle of saying something. You run around. And you're running around the thing. Anyways,
I'm not. Well, what do you think I have a 30-foot cord for this mic for if I can't use it?
Well, I mean, it's distracting when you're taking my notes.
Well, don't look at me. Talk to the audience.
Well, I got to look somewhere. It's a 360.
Look at Colin, for crying out loud.
All right, look.
I know I'm fantastic to look at. I understand that.
But Colin just licked his... yeah, I'll tell you something. All right, so here's the point. Jon Stewart was on Crossfire today, and he, I thought... What he did today took a tremendous amount of balls because, listen, it's nerve-wracking being on a show like that, and it's nerve-wracking. What Jon Stewart did is he got on there and basically said, Paul Begala, Carlton Tuscan, or whatever.
Tucker Carlson. Carlton.
He said to those guys, he goes, look, and he was the only guest. He said, you guys, your show sucks, and it's not just that it's bad, it's actually hurting the American public. Let's play a clip. Have you found it?
I made a special effort to come on the show today because I have privately, amongst my friends, and also in occasional newspapers and television shows, mentioned this show as being bad.
Mm-hmm.
I felt that that wasn't fair, and I should come here and tell you that I don't, it's not so much that it's bad as it's hurting America. So I wanted to come here today and say... Here's just what I wanted to tell you guys.
Yeah.
Stop. Stop hurting America.
Now, the thing is, this is in the first minute of the show. And he is relentless. He does this throughout the show to the point where Begala doesn't say anything. He sort of recedes. And Tucker Carlson keeps trying to challenge him. And Tucker Carlson says, well, come on now, John. When you had John Kerry on, look at these softball questions you asked him. And Jon Stewart goes, well, wait, I have a comedy show. Our lead-in is puppets doing crank phone calls.
Plus Bob Novak.
That's
another part of the festering disease that is
But Jon Stewart's not saying... Jon Stewart is basically saying, look, this is theater. Admit it. Just admit it. You're not a news program. And I think to a certain extent, the irony was that, you've got Tucker Carlson trying to say, your questions aren't so tough, was almost an admission of, we're the same. We're a theater program just like you are. Yours happens to be comedy. Ours happens to be drama. And let's just listen. And the best part, though, is Stewart really hammered these guys because there's usually a point in this where the comedians are supposed to come on and as a comedian, you come on, you make fun of them a little bit, and then you back off and you talk about the book, and then you get a little zinger in, but it's all lighthearted, everybody's smiling. Play this other one because it really is impressive.
If your idea of confronting me is that I don't ask hard-hitting enough news questions... We're in bad shape, fellas.
We're here to love you, not confront you.
No, but what I'm saying is this. I'm not. I'm here to confront you because we need help from the media, and they're hurting us. And it's...
I mean, even to the point where they went on a commercial break, and there was no applause. It was really astonishing. It was one of the few true moments you'll ever see on television. And it's also probably the last time you see Jon Stewart on CNN.
Well, also, Jon Stewart is a guy who's had it. Tom Brokaw gave him a hard time. Other pundits sometimes give him a hard time. And he's just had a kid, which you can really tell the change in him from having the child. Is I now am not, it's not just about me anymore. This is
right.
About my child. And that's what is so confounding about people who cheer at these rallies for Bush Cheney. What they are saying by cheering is, I don't care enough to really know what's going on, and I don't care enough about myself or my kids to really get the real deal. I'd rather live in the world of make-believe and myth, because I'm more comfortable there.
Well, Jon Stewart was already there in terms of, he already understood what was going
right.
on, but I think it's just his priority, part of it is also, is that he's big enough now. He doesn't need to go on CNN. There was a time where he needed to go on Larry King. He doesn't need to anymore. and his book is coming out. I mean, there's a certain the time was right for him to do it, and maybe things in his personal life that made it do. And God bless. I hope we get more of this. It would just be nice if it came from somebody who wasn't a comedian.
But in a way, comedians are social critics.
I agree.
That's the thing.
I'm not surprised, and I think it should come from comedians, but it would be nice if we could take it to the next level.
But also, it's going to come from that kind of sector, because he's not beholden to CNN or GE or ABC or Viacom, even though they have The Daily Show. They're not going to fire him. The ratings are through the roof.
Yeah, of course.
Coming up, Jonathan Zaff, president and co-founder of 18 to 35, a nonpartisan organization dedicated to engaging young adults in public policy making.
We'll be talking to Saul Williams tonight, Paul Loeb, Bill Scherr,
and Tommy O'Malley.
Oh, is that the guy's name?
I think his name's Tommy O'Malley.
And we've got a Bush supporter, because we want to be fair and balanced.
We are back on the Majority Report. My name's Janine Garofalo, here with Sam Cedar, and in studio we are talking to John Zaff, president and co-founder of 18 to 35, a nonpartisan organization dedicated